Great. Could I invite up Harry Turner and Rachel Smith to join me? Fantastic. Thank you. I am going to be preaching in just a moment a short sermon on Jeremiah 29:7, in which God says to the exiles in Babylon, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have called you in exile. So we're considering how we can go out and bless our city. And there are many different people in this congregation who I could have asked to come and have a chat about this with. Andrew Miller, who's just sitting down, has been out all night street pastoring on the streets around Oxford with people coming out of clubs and so on, just offering to look after them, to pray for them and so on. But I have chosen this morning to speak to Harry and to Rachel. So welcome, thank you for coming. And Harry, you were telling me at the weekend away in a brilliant seminar that you ran with your family that you used to work for Macquarie Bank in Australia. What was that like being in Macquarie Bank as a Christian? How did you find that?
So Macquarie Bank, Australian Investment Bank, it's well known for being, its nickname is the Millionaire Factory, and it's well known for being I was in IT, so it didn't include me. But it's well known for being a really kind of quite hedonistic place, and so quite hard to be a Christian. There wasn't many of us.
Okay. And were you openly Christian? Did you kind of...
So I kind of remember to the day that I outed myself as a Christian. I went off to the Christian group in the which, you know, five or six people hiding in a basement somewhere. And I decided to walk there holding my Bible, which was about this size, instead of putting it in my pocket, which I had traditionally done. And I stood in the lift well, and I worked in the equities business, and the head of equities walked up beside me, and he looked down and he went, "What's that?" And I went, "It's a Bible." And he goes, "What, you're a Christian?" And it didn't say much for my Christian life. It's true. People here would probably still say the same thing. But it was the sort of first time that I'd really ever been publicly, not ashamed of my faith, I suppose.
Okay. Now, meanwhile, or after this, you started running mission trips to the Philippines with your family and others. You were doing a lot of work with kids and youth there. And then you began to take folk from the Macquarie staff there. Tell us about that.
That's right. So I was at this time I was living in Hong Kong, we'd managed to con the Macquarie Foundation into putting a load of cash into this wonderful organisation called International Care Ministries. It's a charity that runs through Christian churches in the Philippines, in the slums, basically. So slum churches provides just an amazing ministry. And one day the foundation said, "Wow, we're putting a lot of money into this. We should come and look." So anybody who's ever donated to ICM, you need to offer them the opportunity to come and see this work, and then, you know, we'll all go on a trip together to the Philippines. And so I was bricking it, I thought, oh goodness, how am I going to explain this whole Christian ministry to this group of non-Christian Macquarie bankers? And I spent a long time praying and thinking about how I was going to justify that this was working through the church. I came up with some very clever answers, like the church is the only infrastructure in the slums. So if you're going to work in the slums, then you're going to work through the church. It sounded very plausible to me. So we took this group of 25 Macquarie bankers and the foundation head down to the Philippines, and I'd prepared all these great answers. The first question I was asked by a woman who is a really super smart investment banker, she came up to me and she said, "Harry, why do you do this?" Which is not one of the questions I'd prepared, just to be clear. And I said, "Well, it's because I'm a Christian, and I think that Jesus Christ has called us to serve the poor." And she went, "Oh, why are you a Christian?" Which is also not one of the questions that I'd prepared. In fact, I'd explicitly decided that I wasn't going to do any sort of Christian. You know, they were already going to be beaten up by the Filipinos, so. I was trying to be anyway, long story too short, I ended up in the airport in the Philippines with 25 Macquarie bankers, this sort of thing had happened, all asking me why I was a Christian. And I started my answer to that question with, when you go back home to Hong Kong, I want you to start with, you ask me, right? I'm not banging on it here. And then we spent an hour and a half stuck in the airport talking about our faith. And if I was Michael Ramsden, I'd say, and half of them came to Christ. And that didn't happen. One of them, actually, the woman who first asked me ended up, she did come to Christ, but there was a long journey after that.
Okay, brilliant. So not directly about blessing the city, but I'm just asking Harry about this because it's about putting our faith life and our working life together and saying, do these have to exist in separate chambers of our life or can there be an integration? Rachel, you run an after-schools club. Tell us a bit about it, why you do it, what gave you the vision for it, and so on, if you would.
I became a mum 9 years ago, so children became a big part of my life. They were quite a big part of my life before that. I've always had a heartbroken for working with children, but it's my world now. My little corner of Oxford is, you know, families and children and the walk to school twice a day kind of thing. And so it's my natural little patch. Just as Christopher was praying, I kind of think, well, I feel compelled. You know, there are children in our city who don't know about Jesus. There are children who are dying in our city, potentially not knowing about Jesus. And I'd always thought that we'd go and work overseas, but that never kind of, well, it hasn't happened yet anyway. And I felt God say to me, there are children in Oxford who need to know that I love them. And it's as simple as that, really. I sometimes feel like giving up because it's kind of hard work managing 20 kids, you know, at the end of the day. But I can't stop, really. You know, these children need to know that God loves them. And it's a joy to do it, 90% of the time.
How do parents respond to this? Do they know that you're a Christian and that this is a kind of Christian after-school club?
Yeah, when we started running after-school clubs many, many years ago at St Audate's, I was a little bit more subtle. We ran drama clubs or games clubs. But actually, whenever I went up to a head and said, look, I come from a church and I'm a parent now, would you like me to run, you know, an hour after school? Every single head teacher always said, yes, absolutely, because parents crave free or very, very cheap childcare. And so I've actually become more and more overt as the years have gone on. And it's very clearly advertised as a Bible club. We will learn about God. So parents sign up fully knowing exactly, you know, what their children are going to come along to. And I think we have loads of Christian children who come along, but also lots of parents who would like their children to find out about God and faith, but without them having to bother to take them to church ever kind of thing. And I think some parents just like it because it's free. And, you know, working families need it. And they're like, well, I'll cope with the God stuff kind of thing because my kid gets looked after and they have loads of fun. But, yeah, people are very open.
Amazing. So, I mean, so many people in our church doing things like this in their own time. Harry, tell us about what you're doing now back in Oxford. One of your initiatives, I believe, is something called the Wheelhouse. I've just met Jim here, who is actually part of the Wheelhouse. Tell us about it.
Yeah, there's a number of members of the Wheelhouse here in church, so I'll have to tell the truth. So it's a co-working business, which is we're designed to provide office space for people who are freelancers or people who work from home or people running their own sort of startups or small businesses.
Okay.
And we're here in Oxford, Coventry, Gloucester, soon to be Stoke.
And for you, is there any spiritual or pastoral dimension to
this?
Yeah,
we launched this basically because we found that lots of people were finding life really hard and were quite isolated. Just on Wednesday, we had a young lady come in who's got three small children. She's a single mum. And she literally, the fact that she's willing to sit down with me when I'm showing her around the space and just say, I work from home and I'm really lonely. Mm. That to tell a complete stranger that sort of thing is just, I think, remarkable. So we've set it up with a heart to provide community for people who are feeling isolated. Mm. Not everyone's like that, but who works in the Wheelhouse, but it's certainly a place that people can find this community. Mm. And there are a number of Christians in the space, which is great. And just to tell you a short snap, Matthew Key used to work in the space. And we do these sort of community meals from time to time where somebody will get up and tell them what they're doing. Matthew Key got up and talked about working for the Europe Collaboration, which is a church planting initiative across Europe, which is amazing. And the questions people in the wheelhouse were asking him was just incredible, ranging from, wow, so people still go to church? Just through to really kind of, wow, that's amazing, and we really think that's a really positive thing, even though they're not even Christian. It was just a really open, if you like, warmth, because they were part of community, to hear what he had to say and listen to him in a way that maybe in a regular church setting you might not get that opportunity.
Sure. And that theme of loneliness is one that a number of us have picked up recently from conversations. A real sense of terrible loneliness in Oxford, out in the city. Also people within our own congregation here at St Aldate's feeling lonely. So, you know, we wanted to bless something like this initiative, which is helping to actually alleviate that, particularly for people who are freelance workers. And then, Rachel, you have also trained with something called Kids Matter. Just give us a quick heads up about what that is and what you're, where you're hoping to go with that. So
Kids Matter is a program, it's a parenting program for very vulnerable families, so those who are at risk of becoming known to social services, those who've got the additional challenges, like parents, we know parenting is challenging, but for those, you know, for life is really hard, this is a course to gather in an informal and hopefully very lovely setting to get along alongside parents, mums and dads, and just give them a place where they can share what's going on in their world, a world which, to be honest, feels quite different to mine. I'm incredibly blessed, but the church is, like you said, the infrastructure in every corner of our society. The church is on the ground in all those communities that are really struggling. And so this is an opportunity to offer skills, support, and I think friendship and relationship with lonely parents who are doing a very, very tough job with additional challenges on their own.
Brilliant, brilliant. Could we just thank these two and bless their missions? Just pray for you. Let's just pray for them, if we could. Let's pray for these initiatives that they're involved in. So, Lord God, we pray for Rachel's After Schools Club. We pray for this desire to get the Kids Matter course up and running. We thank you for Harry, Lord, and the Wheelhouse Project and other initiatives that he's involved in. And, Father, we just thank you for hearts and minds which are seeking the peace and prosperity of the city of Oxford. And we ask, Lord, that these initiatives would flourish and that you would bring your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.